Say about your second born. There's a lot I could say, but we just certainly will not. But I am delighted that my daughter Lydia Weitch, you know, the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. I think somebody found a good thing. And she's going to tell her story about becoming a mother, and I have a story about that too, but I'm going to let her tell it. But God is good overall, so Lydia's going to come, and then Debbie McClamrock, whom we know from way, way many years, her husband John would be here today to introduce her had he not had the privilege of going home to be with Jesus. And he is enjoying the joyful presence of the Lord, along with Judy Gill's husband, Dan Gill. Judy is our longtime missionary that we have supported many, many years, and her family. And the legacy continues with two of her sons in full-time ministry. So we're glad to have Lydia Weitch, Debbie McClamrock, and Judy Gill speaking. And let me just say, for those of you who are watching from home, we are going to stop the video and stop the recording when Judy gets up to speak, because she has some personal things she wants to share. So we're going to respect that, but you'll be able to listen to Lydia's testimony and Debbie's online after it's posted, but we're gonna not record Judy. All right? Heavenly Father, we come again into your presence with joy and thanksgiving, and ask now that you would get glory from what these ladies are going to share. In Jesus' name, amen. Lydia, come right on up here. And we'll just put that there, and you can put that.
Yeah, this works. Can y'all hear me? Can you hear my heart beating? Okay, here we go. Good morning. You would think that since I'm a teacher and I speak in front of people every day that I wouldn't be nervous right now, but I can definitely say that's not the case. If I was asked to speak about the derivation of the quadratic formula or the Pythagorean theorem, I would have no issues because I know mathematical concepts very well. But when it comes to giving my testimony and sharing life experiences, it's a little more daunting because my story is not as cut and dry. Ever since Debbie asked me to speak, I've been making notes in my phones of things that I feel led to say, but they were all over the place. So I pray that the Lord speaks through me and that my words make sense. As you all know, I was blessed to be born into a Christian household where I learned about Jesus probably as soon as I could understand words. I'm fortunate to have parents who love the Lord and are great examples of what it means to live as a Christian. I had a very happy childhood. I began my life as a Christian on June 2nd, 1990. I was 6 years old, and I'd gone with my dad and brother to see a movie that was all about hell. It terrified me. After the movie, I knew that if I didn't accept Jesus as my Savior, that I would be permanently separated from God and my family. At that age, the thought of not being around my family was worse than not being around God, because I didn't have a real relationship with him yet. That night, both me and my brother asked Jesus to come into our hearts. I remember shedding some tears and then being comforted by my dad and a box of Teddy Grahams. I understood that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins so that we could go to heaven, and I truly believed in him. But at that time, my faith had yet to grow firm roots. After I was saved, I remember being so excited to go to church and tell everyone. I couldn't wait to get baptized so everyone knew that I was a Christian. My parents gave me this adventure Bible for Christmas after I got saved, and I couldn't wait to read every story that was in it. I especially loved to sing. So much childlike enthusiasm filled my lungs when I sang, I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-A-S-T-I-A-N. And also, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. But throughout my adolescence years, I was not obedient. I always had a relationship with Jesus, but my enthusiasm about the Lord started to wane. Similar to if someone had Disney World in their backyard and sees it every day, the magic didn't seem quite as magical. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I am. It's great. I claimed to be a Jesus freak and listened to that DC Talk album on repeat. But having a quiet time and reading my adventure Bible turned into a task and not something that I really wanted to do as it had been just a few years prior. Attending church was just something I had to do because my parents made me. Other things seemed to be finding more importance in my life. During my preteen and teenage years, I began to compare myself to others. My self-esteem took a dive. I began to value myself by other people's opinions of me, or how smart I was, or how I looked. I was very vain. It was during these years that my dad's two favorite words in the Bible, but God, started to be prevalent in my life, but not like how you might think. At this time, I sounded like a whiny, entitled brat. But God, why do I have to suffer through this terrible acne? But God, why does this person not want to be my friend? But God, I always knew that God was there for me, and I called on him and recited Bible verses in times of need. I knew what the Bible said. Maybe not the full power of the words, but I knew the words. The Manahan family verse is Nahum 1:7, which says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in him." I remember saying this verse over and over one day at tryouts in middle school for the middle school softball team when I was in the outfield preparing to catch a fly ball. When I caught the ball, yes, that's God. When I didn't, but God. Oh, how immature and shallow my faith was. I was most distant from the Lord in my college years and into my 20s. I wasn't living up to my identity as a child of God. I would still tell people that I loved Jesus and I was a Christian, but if someone looked at me from a distance, they would not be able to tell. I was no longer in the Manahan household under the watchful eye of my parents, so I rebelled, and I truly lived up to the stereotype of being a PK, preacher's kid. If it was the wrong choice, I made it. And now a new meaning of the words, but God, started to unfold as more of an excuse. I really messed up, and I know I shouldn't have done that, but God knows my heart. As I continued to sin, there were countless times of me repenting and rededicating my life to the Lord and having the excitement about God that I had when I was a child, but it never seemed to last that long. The world and the desires of my heart took priority. I didn't attend church regularly anymore, and my Bible started to collect dust. I developed an extremely unhealthy relationship with someone and just knew I was supposed to be with him. I began to make plans for my life, and God laughed. But God, this is what should happen. I'm going to get married when I'm 22. I'm going to have two kids, a boy and a girl, one at 25, one at 28, and life will be wonderful. Even when God revealed that he had a much different plan for me, and the person who I thought was supposed to be the one wasn't even close. But God, you know my heart. But God, don't you want me to be happy? But God, this is what will be best for me. Nothing I had planned ever seemed to work out right, and I was getting frustrated. Things that seemed so big and terrible at the time were really just minor things looking back at them now, But to me, I felt like Job. I felt that God was letting all these awful things happen to me. How conceited of me, right? To consider what I was going through, like the trials of Job. I remember shouting at God in a time of desperation, just do something. It was around this time in my mid-20s that I began to attend a church in Fayetteville where I was living. I began to pray more, and I felt God starting to move again in my life. My enthusiasm for going to church came back, and I started to want to go to church on Sundays instead of it being a chore. There became a desire to know more about Jesus. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up the child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. I'm so thankful for this. A part of me that was dormant for a while came back to life. I wanted a close relationship with God. I decided that I also wanted to look for someone to be a part of my life. I was tired of dating and not feeling worthy of other people's love, but I prayed that God would send me a husband. It wasn't right away, but I eventually met Quincy. We started talking and found out that he had actually went to the same college as me, and we were there at the same time and graduated on the same day. UNC Pembroke is not a very big school, so it was surprising to me that we never ran into each other. He played on the baseball team, and I even went to watch some baseball games. We knew some of the same people, but our paths never crossed. We also learned that we had probably been in each other's peripherals since high school and never knew it. God didn't want us to meet at those times. We were probably both not ready for each other. The Lord's timing is perfect. Quincy lived in Durham, and I lived in Fayetteville, so for a while we were dating at a bit of a distance. After living in Fayetteville for the past few years and being around so many military guys, I really had made the decision that I did not want to be with one. No offense. I thought I was in the clear when I met Quincy because he had his college degree. He was living in Durham. Well, guess what? He had just enlisted in the Army, and off to basic training he went about 6 months after we met. But God, I really thought that my life was just a huge joke to God at this point. After he graduated from basic training in AIT, I knew that Quincy had several different options of where he could end up being stationed. Some were out of the country, but one was right there at Fort Bragg in Fayetteville. I prayed and prayed, Lord, if this is the man that you want me to be with, please let him end up at Fort Bragg. And guess what? After about 6 years after we met, we finally got married in 2015. Quincy was now out of the military and was starting a new career. I was becoming unhappy with living in Fayetteville and knew that we would be moving closer to RTP, where Quincy was working at the time, but never thought we would end up in Fuquay. As a matter of fact, when I was thinking about schools to apply to, Fuquay Verena High School wasn't even on the radar. The Lord knew this was where I needed to be. He placed me at FBHS, where I met some co-workers who were really passionate about God. I got involved in book study groups and really felt my faith becoming stronger. A fire was lit again, and I just wanted to know more and more. Life was actually great. It was at this time that everyone started to ask, when are you going to have kids? I'd always wanted to be a mother, so my answer was, as soon as the Lord wants to bless us. I couldn't wait to do things with my children like my mother used to do with us. My mother was a superstar with 3 children. Childhood memories of activities with my mom and homeschooling and making cakes and going on walks. I wanted to do it all. I was going to get pregnant by the time I was 32. I had a plan. And again, God laughed. During this same time, which was 2016, my mother ended up in the hospital with something that was a total mystery to us. What is making her sick? Is she going to make it? But God, please don't take her yet. But God, she's one of your most faithful servants. Why her? But God, I haven't been able to give her another grandchild yet. but God, but God, but God, question marks. I remember one day when she was in the hospital, I was at home in my living room listening to music when the song by Casting Crowns, Praise You in the Storm, came on. Here's just a few of the lyrics. I'm not going to sing it. I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in this storm. My mother had steadfast hope and peace even through this time in her life. This is a quality of my mother that I have always admired. She has a sense of contentment in her life and never seems to worry about anything too much. And in this time, she knew where her help came from. After her sickness was finally diagnosed and the right medication was given to her, she bounced back and made it back to us. But God, now in the way it's supposed to be. I was so joyful that my mother was going to be okay, but my heart was yearning for a child. After about a year of trying to get pregnant unsuccessfully, my frustration led me to seek out help from a fertility clinic. Countless tests were done, but nothing ever came back to be wrong with either one of us. I was excited since I had other friends who had gone to the same clinic, and every one of them came out with a baby in the end. So after three cycles of injections and shots that were supposed to help us failed, the "but God" with a huge question mark started to creep back in. I stopped going to the clinic, and I just prayed instead. I prayed and prayed like I had not prayed ever before, but I felt God wasn't hearing me, and I fell into a state of depression. Month after month and year after year of disappointment and heartache took me to the lowest point I had ever been in my life. I was jealous of other people's blessings and started to once again lose sight of my identity in Christ. I started to compare myself again to others and ask, God, why not me? But God, why? Mother's days were not good days for me. I felt like I was not worthy of God's love and blessings and that maybe I should do things to try to get what I want. I started volunteering for things and doing acts of service, but my motives were in the wrong place. Talk about being selfish. The thought kept popping in my head, surely God will see what I'm doing and my prayers will be answered. Again, all I heard was no. I couldn't even see it as a not yet. I was beginning to disappear. My infertility became my identity. It was having a negative impact on my marriage, and I felt I was in a deep place I could never get out of. I remember even praying and bargaining with God out of desperation. Lord, if you ever allow me to be a mother, I promise I'll speak at church on a Mother's Day. The "but God" question mark was now, at this time, a whisper coming from a very shriveled up and bitter heart. But God, even though this was the lowest point in my life, this was actually when I felt the closest to God. Isn't that weird? It's a bit of a paradox, really. I felt like I wasn't being heard, but I felt drawn close to Him. I wanted to listen to nothing but Christian music, and I was in the Word constantly trying to find verses to help me and give me direction. I highlighted them all a certain color so I'd know that this was in reference to that time in my life. Here are just a few of them, and I actually use these to help minister to other people. James 1, 2, and 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Lamentations 3:22 to 24. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Psalms 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The year is now 2020, and COVID has the country on lockdown. I had thought about starting up more visits to the fertility clinic again, but they weren't taking any more new patients, so that was that. I gave it up. I finally told God, Lord, I'm totally giving my life all to you. I'm going to stop doing things just to try to get your favor. And if it's meant that I'm supposed to just be the best aunt ever instead of a mom, I'm fine. And I really was at that point. I had been experiencing some medical issues that required a certain medication that anyone even considering getting pregnant shouldn't take. I remember saying to God as I picked up the prescription from CVS, okay, Lord, this is it. It's all in your hands. Just like I so loudly sang as a child, it is well with my soul. I was now able to talk about my situation without becoming an emotional mess. I prayed that I would have opportunities to open up where I could serve to spread the love of Jesus and not for my own selfish gains. I decided to choose joy over sorrow and just let God do his thing. And on a Sunday morning in September 2020, I took a test on a whim and found out God did his thing. But God, no question mark. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. There are so many but God moments that happened during my pregnancy and afterwards that I could spend hours talking about the provisions that the Lord has given me, but I will fight against my inherited tendency to talk too long. My pregnancy was not super easy. There were terrifying moments when I thought that things were not going to work out, just like how much of my life had seemed to be. Could God really bless me with such a miracle just to take it away? I had to have my appendix removed when I was 20 weeks pregnant. And I remember the doctor telling me that if I had not listened to my motherly instinct, my appendix would have ruptured and I could have lost my life. And my precious Eliana, not even born yet, would have definitely lost hers. I wish I would have been in the right frame of mind at the time to tell her it's not my motherly instinct. It's God. But God. I became a mom at the age of 37, so about 12 years late from my original plan and 5 years late from my altered one. I will have a 3-year-old in a little over 2 weeks. It's been a complete whirlwind and time is a thief. I've learned so much from so many other mothers that I look up to and admire. My sister, my mother-in-law, sister-in-law, my friends, ladies in this church, especially my own mother, who was able to keep Eliana while I work. I'm so grateful that she's able to help me raise my daughter with the love and the gentleness that she raised me with. I have been overwhelmed by the amount of support that I've received. The story of God working in my life is not over. The Lord took me to a dark place for a reason. He wanted me to know that he truly wants the best for me and also uses my seasons of pain and discomfort to help comfort other people. My story can be my ministry. My daughter is my ministry. Her name, Eliana, means God has answered. I teach her to pray to Jesus when she feels scared. Jesus is our friend. I tell her I love her every night when I tuck her in, but I say, you know who loves you more than me? Jesus. Praise God for Psalms 41 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. I'm beginning to understand my purpose and why it seemed like the Lord was picking on me my whole life. He's given me a way to relate to other people who are going through hardships. What a wonderful thing if my story can help someone know Christ. My life since becoming a mother has not been easy. I still struggle with some of the things like before, comparison and vanity being the main things that still pop up with their ugly heads on the daily. There are times when I start to feel a little distant from the Lord, when life gets super busy at work and at home. I don't always turn to God first when I get stressed, and I don't always have the best attitude. I can lose my patience easily, and I still make bad decisions. Some days I think I should just change my name to Paul, when he said in Romans 7, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I give in to things this world has to offer far too much, and I still have many weaknesses." Thank God for 2 Corinthians 12:9 that says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." Although it has been the most rewarding thing, being a mother has been the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. I appreciate the prayers lifted up by my family and my FBC family. Please continue to pray for me. There are days when the Holy Spirit has to intercede on my behalf because I just don't have the energy to pray, or all I can say is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Prayer is so powerful. There is a difference between now and where I was before, earlier in my life, even though I was still a Christian then, and that is, I know that what God's word says is true. I don't just hope it's true. It's because God allowed me to experience it. I'm not just emptily reciting the words to Bible verses. I have felt the words that I only merely used to read. Amazingly, today's verse of the day from the YouVersion Bible app is this. I just checked it this morning and was blown away. Luke 1:45. "Blessed is she who has believed the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." The question mark has gone away. Now only "but God" remains. Thank you very much.
Lydia, I see why it took you a year to give me a yes answer. I asked her last year, and she said, "I'm not going to do it this year, but maybe next year. So pray for me this year." And I did. And I'm sure maybe some others did too. But thank God, but God answered in his time, not mine. Mine is different because most of you guys know me. I've been here forever. Actually, I think it's, how old is the church? 38 years, 34 years? We came on a January, John and I. We walked in with our two children because someone who's not here, Eva Daniel, had invited us to come because her and I taught a Bible school together. Or actually, it was a Good News Club together. And we were blessed, and I mean blessed, to have over 100 children in that club weekly. only God, but God. He's the only one who could do that. So mine today is a little bit different. And I prayed and I prayed, and I really didn't want to be up here. I can tell you that right now. And talk about being nervous, Lydia, I got you. And I know that many of you, I mean, I myself am an educator. I had the wonderful privilege to teach the what I call the fun things, childbirth classes, and CPR, first aid, bringing home baby, grandbabies class, and even some more. I got to actually counsel, a lot of grief counseling. Well, that's why I know the stages as I've walked through them. But God is the one that had to get to my heart to teach me even more. So this is a praise to God and a thank you. And actually, it's centered around some of my favorite verses and one of my favorite chapters since the ladies' retreat, Psalm 34. You ladies that went on the retreat, you know what I'm talking about. One of the things that it says is, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me. My life is not my own. It never has been. And you know, the next verse says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And every time I seek him, he does. Also, my favorite verse and favorite chapter in the Bible, my life chapter, is Romans 8. I always tell people it starts out with, there is therefore no condemnation. And then in the middle, it says there's no separation. And at the end, it says the same. Can you imagine? There's no condemnation in those who love the Lord. And in Romans 8:28, it says, for all things work together. For what, y'all? Do you know that verse? Somebody say it out loud. For good. And what's it say? All things work together for good. For those who, what, Terry?
Love God.
And are called according to whose purpose? His purpose. And boy, it can go. It goes on and on and on that if God is for me, who can be against me? So I praise God. I want to magnify him for the fact that I'm alive today. There were a couple of times last year I wasn't sure if I was going to be. But my life's been kind of like that. I don't know if you've known me long enough, you've known that I've kind of had to be more flexible. So here it goes, y'all. I praise you, Lord, and thank you for all of my days and for the amazing journey of life you have been guiding me through and teaching me lessons all along the way. Wow. Thank you that through the many turns and manholes, I call them manholes because you ever gone down the roads lately? They're not just little bumps. I mean, they're like, ooh, I better dodge that one or I'm going to end up having to get tires for my vehicle. So the manholes, mountains, smooth roads, valleys, and even cliffs that we have journeyed together through since the day I accepted you as my Lord and Savior at 9 years old, just through the song and through the verse, John 3:16. Say it with me, would you? 1, 2, 3. For God so loved the world. Come on, you guys. Say it with me. You ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And do you know what goes on to tell us that, again, he didn't come into the world to condemn it. He came into the world to save. those who are lost in seeking him. Wow. You may have shaken your head 1,000 times or more out of pure frustrations as you looked at me and as I walked through life with you. Really, I'm sure he did. Because of some of the decisions, I think so often about how different my life would have been, God, if you'd not allowed me to be your child and to become a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother. There are not enough words in the English language or time to express them, so I want to magnify you, I want to praise your name. Yet again, I say thank you for the perseverance that you've, for persevering with me through the journeys, for your provision and your protection. I remember those times as a child, and I could tell, I knew my parents were struggling to make ends meet. There were times I could tell by the soups we ate, the eggs, the pinto beans and cornbread. You remember those, Mickey? And onions, because my mom loved onions. And now Mickey's got me liking them too. So, but all those times where they had to make decisions, I wondered. Now, as I'm older, between buying groceries and paying rent. Kind of reminds you of today for some people, doesn't it? That raising 5 children, I'm sure, wasn't an easy task to do. But God, you not only got us through, but I look at all 5 of us and how much we love and care for one another. Maybe some families can't say that, but I sure can. And we call our siblings, and our siblings call us. And of course, since Mickey and I both lost our husbands last year, she's probably sick of me by now, but hopefully not. We spend a lot of time together. And there's a lot of joy in that, a lot of peace. And I thank you, God, for that. Wow. I just want to thank you, God. I want to magnify your name. How could I ever communicate my thankfulness for the many lessons you've taught me through the journeys of life? And you continue to teach me. And boy, Lord, talk about that frustration. I sure do thank you for your patience with me and that your mercy and grace is new every morning. I thank you for the wonderful husband that I had for 51 years. He didn't have to keep us married for that long. I remember that when we talked about getting married, I was, believe it or not, I was 16 when I met him, 2 weeks after I moved here. We were 18, I was 18, he was 21 when we got married. Had a child early, about a month early, because, again, one of those, but God, Lydia, got me through. If it hadn't been for him, neither I nor her nor who knows what would have happened, because it was within an hour of dying when they had to do an emergency cesarean. So I thank God. Thank you, God, that you not only got us through, but God, you taught me through it. And within 6 months, I wanted to know more of you. I wanted to love you like I've never loved you before. I wanted to see, even through the frustrations and the things that I went through and the journeys that were very difficult and the abuses I withstood as a child, how you really wanted to work those for good to the glory of your name. Well, he showed me within the next 7 years. Thank you, God, that you showed me as you were healing me, you were preparing me to help others. And if I hadn't been through those things, talk about not, if you hadn't gone through those journeys, there's no way you can minister to the people that are hurting. No way you can share with them things that people have walked through, are walking through even today. So thank you, God, again, for your grace, your mercy, your love, your patience, your perseverance that you've shown to me. And then as a mother, wow. I was growing up as I was helping them grow up. 4 years after I had Johnny, I thank God for that, because the doctors called John and I in his office about 2 years after I had Kim and said, if you're going to have children, you need to have them by the time you're 24. I was 21 then. Well, like I had control. So we prayed. First of all, God, show us when's the right time. And then, God, look, if we're going to have children, you're the one that's got to do it. But when I was 22, on March 31st, 1976, our son was born. And I thank God for that. Because within, I think it was a year after that, or I started having problems you wouldn't believe, and by the time I was 27, I had a hysterectomy. And God was teaching me and growing me all the way. Wow, I've had a wonderful life. Then I had to raise them, or help them grow up. I didn't raise them, God did, and he still is. Are they perfect? Am I perfect? No. Are y'all perfect? Let me tell you. You may think you are, but you're not. We got a lot of work that God wants to do with us, which reminds me of another scripture. And I want to make sure I say it right, so I got to look it up here. It's in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you, in me, will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So I thank you, Lord, that you're not giving up on me, and that you spared my life. I thank you, Lord, for the lessons I've learned through of humility. Whoa, talk about humility. So many times I had to go to even my children or my husband or someone else and say, I've really messed up. Will you forgive me? So much so that even today my son says, Mom, you don't have to tell everybody you're sorry. But they don't have a heart that God has given me that says, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong is not the lesson. The lesson is, am I obedient? Am I the one who's willing to say, I love you, Lord? And I want to be the one that says, I love you, Lord, and let your love be seen through me. Let your joy be seen through me, no matter what I walk through. Whoa, even as teenagers. I remember one time, I think Johnny was maybe 12, maybe 13, and I was so frustrated with him, and John was working out of town. And at that time, when he worked out of town, it wasn't just a day or two, it was like a week or two. And I was at my wit's end, put Johnny to bed, we said our prayers. And then I walked out, and God said, go back in and pray over him. Well, I took that literal. So I laid, he was laying this way, I was laying this way, so it would be like a cross. And I prayed something like these words, Lord, would you please show Johnny how much you love him? And let him see the evidence of who you really are, so that he would really know you. Might have been a little bit older than 13, because Kim was getting ready to graduate, and there's 4 years difference. So anyway, then I said, would you either take my life or his if you don't show us within the next 24 hours. I didn't know I was going to pray that, and I thought, more. And I'm not telling y'all, please don't pray that over your children, because it scared me to death once I heard those words come out of my mouth. Wow. So Johnny got up the next morning. He came to the breakfast table. Why did you pray that over me? Your life or mine? Are you kidding me, Mom? I believe that he can do it. I trust God for what he's going to do and how he's going to show you. You have to be watching for the answer. You have to be listening to his voice. You have to see what he's doing. Well, it was Baccalaureate Sunday. And I remember going to church and coming home. And after that, Johnny said, did God give you an answer yet? I said, no, sir, he didn't. Did he give you? No. Then it was time to go to the baccalaureate for Kim. And what we were doing is, back then, you could actually do it on school grounds at Fuquay High School, the old one. And we did it on the football field. And we were in the stadium. And, of course, the commencement exercises were going on and all the speeches. And all of a sudden, in the back, you could hear thunder. And you knew a storm was coming, but the session was going on. And what happened is that as we sat there and as we listened, as we watched, I was praying, God, is this when it is? Let it be known to him, to Johnny, that you are real, you are alive, and that you love him, that you have a plan for him. And I cannot explain it except to say, but God and only God did this, is only where we were, only where Johnny was. It was like a spotlight going right down on him of a ray of sunlight. There were clouds all around, and then all there, right there, over him and him alone. And I'm sure it was in that section. But there was no doubt God was speaking. The last word was spoken, and they even prayed at that time. The prayer was prayed. And we had to run to our car because the rain was pouring. It seemed like Johnny couldn't run fast enough, and his dad was coming, and I was coming. We got in the car, and he looked at me, and he said, Mom, did you see it? Did you see it? I said, what, you think God spoke? There's no doubt, Mom, he spoke. There's no doubt. And he explained just what I told y'all. I said, so what do you believe now, son? He said, I believe God. I know he exists, and I know he has plans for me. God does work, and we can magnify him, and we can praise him, and I thank you. So I could tell you more. But I want to challenge you to magnify the Lord with me and bless his holy name for the fact that he gives us life each day.